Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Now, on the subject last week that occurred, this tragedy here in the U.S. and Las Vegas, let me just say that it's a horrible, horrible thing. God had nothing to do with that in the respect of causing it. God didn't cause it. The Lord's not the one who was behind it somehow, trying to, destroy people's lives, tear them up, whatever. No. The Lord was not involved in that. We know that. The thing is, people get, they try to figure out somehow, because they think God somehow is in control of everything that happens, that somehow it must have been, somehow God was involved, somehow. Well, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That man that did this horrible crime didn't know what to yield to and what to resist. He yielded to a demon or demons and resisted going to the Lord. You don't see people who know the Lord and walk in the love of Christ doing that kind of stuff, do you? No. Amen. All right. Come on. Let's go. Get in the Word. Ephesians chapter 5. Title of the message today is Spirit versus Flesh. Spirit versus Flesh. Whoa. This is a big one. Spirit versus Flesh. Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse number 18. This has been our foundation in this series. Verse 18, and we'll read verse 18 and 19 today. It says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." So don't be drunk with wine wherein is this debauchery, this crossing of the line of morals, what's right and what's wrong, and that line becomes blurred literally because your eyes get blurred and you can't see straight, you can't walk straight when you get in that state, and you end up doing and saying stupid things, things that are unscriptural and not right, and get involved in things that are devastating to your life and all that. So he says, don't be filled with wine wherein is this excess, but, and circle the word but be filled with the Spirit. So, you know, we should not just focus on what he tells us not to do. He tells us not to do something, but how many of y'all know he also tells you to do something? So he says, don't do this, but do this. And people focus on the don't do this. And they get hung up on the don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, where this happens. Now look, we ought to know that as believers, we ought not to be partaking in those areas. You know, so, okay, but the focus shouldn't be solely on the don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess. That should not be the focus. The focus ought to be on, but do this, but be filled with the Spirit. So if I'm told not to do something, that's fine, but give me something to replace it. The world's idea of being filled, if you will, is being filled with some kind of substance. And whether it be alcohol or drugs or get caught up in, you know, promiscuity, my goodness, there's so many things that people do today and have been doing for a lot of years to replace what the Lord tells us we should be doing. But see, we ought to be growing. You should be growing between the times that you're here and then you go home and you go to your jobs and what have you, and you're in school, you're doing this, you're doing that. And when you go, you should be progressing spiritually. You should be developing spiritually. You should be growing so that every time you come back to church, you've grown a little bit more. Some things have changed. Some changes have occurred in you. Some things have come down and out of your life. and you see that there are some things that you need to be involved in and doing and other things that you have to stay away from. Well, that's what this is pointing at here. And these substitutes that the world has for, enjoyment are very poor examples and poor substitutes for the real thing. They say if you get drunk or you get high, that's the way to go. No. As I said before, there's no high like the Most High. And we need to be involved in being filled. I told you last week and the week before that in the Greek language in this verse, in verse 18, that little phrase, but be filled, is in the present imperative. You remember that? And it means that it's a continuous action and a repeated action. And so this literally could read, be being filled. We saw in Acts chapter 2 when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Bible said in verse 4, they spoke in other tongues, that in chapter 4 of the book of Acts, those very same people were again filled. And so you need to be in the process of being filled. We throw that phrase, that term around, a Spirit-filled church. This is a Spirit-filled church because, yes, I do. I preach the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's called full gospel, whatever you want to name and label it, I don't care. But the fact is, it's in the Word of God. So if it's there, we need to do it. Man, I'll tell you what. Praying in tongues has been the best thing that's ever happened in my life. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit. I don't walk in places and I'm not going to go and act like some weird duck. Yeah, but aren't you supposed to? No, you're not supposed to draw attention to yourself. You should be walking in the love of Christ, but have some powerful things in your life that are answers to when people have troubles and issues. Man, it's amazing to me how many folks have said in times past, I'm not so sure about that baptism in the Spirit. Boy, you would have had a real problem with the Apostle Paul. You would have had a real problem with Peter and James and John, Andrew and other disciples, the early church. Yeah, but that was for the early church. And that's where that doctrine of Calvinism came around and said, that was for them. But at the death of the last apostle, all those giftings ceased. And frankly, Pastor, anytime you hear that, Pastor, or you hear Brother, Sister, you're fixing to get a load of legalism. Amen? We don't need signs and wonders anymore. That was to get the church started. Really? Is that right? We don't have an opponent anymore to our faith like they did. We don't have a need for miraculous interventions like they did, right? Very wrong. They were wrong to say that. Calvinism is a doctrine that is wrong. Will you start trying to say that at the death of a man, at the death of the last apostle, all these things that the early church walked in, done away. But it's so peculiar to me that they still preach that you are saved by accepting Jesus Christ. I want to know one thing about that doctrine. Why didn't salvation pass away? But all these other things, laying hands on sick people and speaking in tongues and the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, all these things mentioned in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 12, passed away. It doesn't make sense. It never made sense to say one part of it is gone, but this is okay. That part they happen to disagree with, tear those pages out. They're no good anymore. They passed away. Wrong. They did not pass away. We have need for the power of God like never before in our lives. You have an opponent who is still here. You saw evidence of what he wants to do through people last Sunday night. It's too cold in here, Pastor John, you back there. My son, Austin. Joe, would you bump that one up? Go up a degree or two. I see people shivering. I don't like that. I call him John so much of the time. We'll be at the house and I'll go, John. And he's like, Dad, I am your son, Austin. Yeah, well, I've worked with John for a lot of years, and so John, at times I'll call John Austin. So I don't know. Man, I love them both, you know, but it's like, whatever. You saw a manifestation of what the devil is capable of on Sunday night through a person who yields himself to him. The issue's not guns. I mean, people are right away wondering, guns! Who pulled the stinking trigger? Who loaded them up and took them up there? I understand there are some guns that you really don't need. Fully automatic weapons are banned by law. You know that? You've got to have a certain class license to get one. But there, I was talking about this Second Amendment right, taking it away, you can't have a weapon and all this and that. I'm like, why don't we do away, well, you want to start doing away with some stuff, do away with YouTube, where they show you how to make an automatic weapon, where they show you how to build a bomb in 5 easy steps. That's freedom of speech. Well, the Second Amendment's freedom to bear arms. What we need is not to try to legislate morality. We don't need to do that. What we need to do is have an awakening in this country. We need a revival among Christians that went to church when they were little kids and then floated away and decided not to serve God and now are caught up in all sorts of garbage. Like I'm saying, people that serve the Lord and are living for Him, really living for Him. There are some phonies and some fakes. I understand that. But they're not doing that kind of stuff. We need an awakening in this country. It's a spiritual awakening because it's the heart of the person. It's not the weapon. I mean, Jason, you put a post on the other day. Cain killed Abel with a rock. If it's not a rock, it's something else. I mean, you know, so there's debate on that. But the bottom line is a lot of these folks that want to debate it and these congressmen that stand up and we got to ban all weapons and get everybody's guns. Oh, yeah, like the criminals are going to go, oh, here are all my guns. Or you walk in a place and it says no weapons. Oh, that criminal, doggone it, I was going to rob them blind. But they have a sign right there. I mean, that's stupid. Let's get back on the subject. Yeah, thank you, Pastor Dan. So we need to be talking about the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. We must give place for the operation of the Holy Spirit in our services. There are those that are afraid of any experience with the Holy Spirit. Just flat afraid of it. They'll have a form of godliness, but they deny, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5 says that, they deny the power thereof. So it's okay to talk about it, but we don't want any of that in this church. I've been in churches before where they said, there'll be none of that here. There will be none of that here. And I'm thinking, you'll have no Holy Spirit. I mean, you don't want God to do what He said in His Word He could do. Wow. See, the book of Acts was a bunch of believers having amazing manifestations of God's power. Amazing manifestations of God's power. Let's look at verse number 19 here, because I need to just speed this along. I'm going to let the Lord minister to you, but I'm aware of the time. So it said, verse 18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So it tells us not to do something, but gives us the answer. We need to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Be being filled. How do you do that? Speaking. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So you cannot separate being filled with speaking. You see that? You cannot separate being filled with the Spirit with speaking. If you won't speak, you won't be filled. But be filled with the Spirit, there's a semicolon there actually, speaking to yourselves. How many of y'all talk to yourselves? Because no one else will talk to me. Well, that's it. Maybe there's a problem there. I talk to myself. I do answer myself.
What do you think about that?
Well, I don't know. What are you saying? You know, it says speaking to yourselves, does it not? In psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now here comes the part that people struggle with, singing and making melody unto the Lord.
Well, I can't sing.
Everybody can sing. Some better than others. It didn't say you should record, did it? The Bible says to make a joyful noise before the... We're supposed to do that. Some people can carry a tune, and some people can sing, and some people can do the different parts, and others can't. It doesn't mean you're less of a person, but you are still instructed to speak to yourself. Allow that to rise up in you. I encourage myself. What did David do in the book of Psalms? Why so downcast, O my soul? In other words, what's going on here? Why are you thinking the way you're thinking today? Why are you feeling down in the mouth? Why are you letting this situation get to you? You need to talk to yourself like that. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. But you need to let the Lord get involved in it. How do you think a lot of sermons get developed? I'll be driving down the road, and I hit that little button on here that I can record stuff. And I will record ideas. I'll be sitting at a light. I remember one day not too long ago, I was sitting up here, and I was like, oh, man, I got to get that down quick. And hit it on the record. Because the Holy Spirit's given me some stuff to put together for a message, a future series. I'll just say it. Boy, I'll go back in there and pull them up. You need to be doing that, not just once in a while. And that's not only for preachers, it's for everybody. That's part of the Spirit-filled life. Letting the Lord rise up in you and say things through you, if to nobody else, to you. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking. Well, now, Pastor Dan, you know, this speaking business, I just don't know. Well, here's a very simple little phrase for you. Write it down if you don't already know it. If you won't speak, you won't be filled. Here's the other thing. If you won't speak, you won't speak. Wow, we got a heavy revelation at church today. If you won't speak, you won't speak. Now listen, here's where people get caught up and hung up on this whole speaking in tongues thing. The mechanics, the actual mechanics of speaking in tongues is not supernatural. Now write this down. Some of you need to think about this big time. The actual mechanics involved, the use of the lips, tongue, vocal cords, lungs, that's very natural. It's very natural. Somebody say amen. You just used those things I was talking about. When you say, good morning, you used them. Nothing supernatural about that. God gave you a tongue. He gave you lips. He gave you vocal cords. He gave you lungs. He gave you breath. And you form the words. Right? So get this. The mechanics of it, the physical speaking, nothing supernatural about that. The supernatural part comes in that what you're saying is not coming out of your mind. It's coming out of your spirit, man. See, the Holy Spirit, what does 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14 say in the Amplified Bible? You have an Amplified here? Come on, sister, pull it up. 1 Corinthians 14, I'll read it if you'll just get it. Is Amplified Version. Verse 14 in the Amplified Version reads this way. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays, but my mind is unproductive, it bears no fruit, and helps nobody. You get that? When you're praying in tongues, you are praying, the unction, the ability to do it's not coming out of your head. It's coming out of your spirit, man. He lives and dwells in your spirit. This is that whole, thank you, the whole concept of your body being the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is literally the Holy of Holies of God. The Holy Spirit dwells in there. Here's our biggest issue in life. we think we're smarter than God. A lot of times, I see it over at the university when I'm over there. I see people think they're smarter than God. Man, I got this figured out. There's nothing wrong with education. We have people in here that are highly educated. Doctors with advanced degrees. People with degrees of one sort or another. I'm all for it. Praise God. We got some of you that are pursuing them, right, Mercy? Yes? Hallelujah. Yolan? Tom? Others? Sister? Although chemical engineering is a difficult one. But we have people with advanced degrees in this church and some with no degrees. Wasn't it interesting they said about the disciples, we can tell you've been with Jesus. These are unlearned fishermen, but boy, they're wowing us with what they're telling us. So the answer is hearing from God, even in your education. You've got to hear from the Lord. Get His wisdom. But there are people that think they're smarter than God. And I'll tell you what, right now, nobody's smarter than God. This word is our blueprint for life. And as we dissect it, break it apart, and find the original translations, take it in context, find the history of the book, the background of the book, the context, the rule of usage, all these different things that we do when we get in and study the word, man, it lines up perfectly. And those that say it contradicts itself all over the place don't know how to study it. Oh, science is so far ahead of the Bible. Are you kidding me? I like science. Not like some people, but I like science. But science is antiquated where the word is concerned, if you really knew that. Because the word, when you get in the original translation, man, it blows away so many of these theories. Unbelievably easy once you dig in. But if a person thinks they're smarter than God, they won't ever go here. But look at here. The mechanics are not supernatural. The tongue, the lips, the vocal cords, the lungs, the breath produce it. But what's supernatural, the supernatural part is that it's not coming out of your mind, it's coming out of your spirit. Now, last week we talked about praying in tongues being a vital doorway into the other manifestations. It's absolutely true. Now, this in verse 19 is supposed to be a way of life. Do you see that? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. This would be a way of life. I'm telling you right now, you need to be doing that. If you're not doing it, start doing it. How do you do that? I don't know what to say. What's the Lord speaking in your heart? Speak it out when you're off by yourself. Talk to Him. Talk to Him about your problems. He knows what's going on anyway. We just, but don't get into the singing the blues and all the negative of, you know, well, I'm supposed to sing. Well, I'm singing the blues. Don't be singing the blues, man. I mean, I know how to play blues. I like that. But don't be singing that. Don't be making these negative confessions. Well, there's always more month left than money. How are we going to make it? We can't blah, blah, blah. Trust God. Stay at it. It's amazing how He reveals things to me many times when I'm saying something and it'll just come out. I'm like, whoa, that was good. That's why it's good to have your little recorder going like that. Thank you, Lord. So the flesh is an issue for every one of us. There's something that is continually trying to pull you the other way from doing what we've just said. Speaking in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I know some people think, I never heard that before. Are you kidding me? I'm supposed to be doing that? You got to read your Bible. So many churches today, they don't care if you bring a Bible or not. I listened to a message a guy put on the other day, and I'm like, he mentioned one verse of Scripture, quoted one verse of Scripture in the 20 minutes that his message was going. One verse. And all the rest was about the newspaper and current times. And I'm like, I'll stick with getting into the Word. Amen. Go to Romans 8 quickly. There's one thing that's continually trying to pull you back and stop you from doing what we were talking about today. It's called the flesh. Who in here has a flesh? Every one of us in here have a flesh to deal with. Some have more flesh than others, yeah. you sure got a lot of flesh. Don't be looking at people's flesh. Amen. Mm-hmm. That's probably some folks, all they're doing is looking at people's flesh. You know what I'm saying? If you let the flesh, it'll hold you back from ever having a walk in the Spirit. This stuff will sound like that's overboard, that's overblown, you don't need to do that, that's crazy, that's a wildfire. If you know me, I'm one of the most conservative people you will ever meet. Is that true, Ann? I'm very conservative. I am. I don't like to draw attention to myself. I don't. I'm a conservative individual. She and I hit it off so well when we were dating because we'd go in a restaurant and we wouldn't want to cause a scene, you know. What do you mean by that? Well, you ever be out with somebody that talks too loud? Says things they shouldn't say right now. Don't be hitting each other. Says things they shouldn't say in front of people. Well, I just think I'm blah, 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 blah. Man, like, quiet that down, you know. Ann and I both think that way, that we don't do that, you know. Okay, whatever. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 1. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let me just make this comment on this verse. If you walk in the flesh, you will not be able to avoid the condemnation that the enemy throws at you. Read that again. There's therefore now no condemnation to who? Them which are in Christ Jesus. Okay, I'm in Christ Jesus, I'm born again. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So if you're not in a walk after the Holy Spirit, but you're caught up in things of the flesh, you will not be able to avoid condemnation. You see that? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Wow. It's made you free from the law of sin and death. You cannot walk in the flesh and function fully as a Spirit-filled believer. It's just that simple. The flesh or the Spirit, which are you going to yield to? I said about this man out there killed all these people last week. The man was possessed of a spirit to do that to people. Has to be. Well, he's crazy. Yeah, that's what the world says. He's crazy. They don't want to touch on the fact that he was demon possessed. There are a lot of you in here right now that couldn't do that if you put a... Okay, let's just bring it down to this. Say you're up above 100 innocent dogs in a pen, and you pull out a rifle and start popping them off. There's not a one of you in here that would do that. Can you shake your head no? There's no way we would do that. No, I like cats. I like cats too. Yeah, you would. Oh, listen, we wouldn't do that, would we? We wouldn't. He wouldn't do that either. There's no way. Tom, you wouldn't do that. We wouldn't do that to an animal. The Bible does have something to say about how you treat your cat. You do know that. We'll share that one with you later. But you couldn't do that. Now we're talking innocent people, and this guy is taking pleasure in doing it. You can tell me that person's not possessed of a spirit? Huh? Somebody who could function seemingly normally and go under the radar, and then at this point this rises up? Don't talk to me about possession not being a reality. Too late. I've seen it. I've dealt with it in people already. How many of y'all have ever laid hands on somebody or took authority over a devil when he's speaking through a woman and she's talking like this? It'll make the hair on the back of your neck curl and your socks roll up and down like window shades. My goodness. And I'll tell you right now, if you don't know your authority, you'll be hitting the door. So, you know. Anyway, don't talk to me about it. That's too late. Well, listen, your flesh is not born again. If your flesh dominated, you'll live a life like unsaved people. I'm going to come back to this next week. I'm going to stop it right here, but I want to touch on something right quick before we go. The Bible says the carnal mind in verse 7, jump down there, next week we're going to come back and pick it up from verse 1 and go down and look at some of this stuff and some examples. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You see that? The carnal mind is enmity against God. The word enmity is a Greek word, ekthra. And ekthra literally means in opposition to, hostile towards. Brings the word enmity in, but hatred. The carnal mind is opposed to God. Actually, the carnal mind has a hatred for God. That's heavy. It's an enmity. It's opposed to God. Has hostility toward God. The carnal mind. The carnal mind, and notice how it brings up this carnal-minded thing. To be carnally minded is death, back in verse 6. And we'll lead into this a little more next week. But the carnal mind is the unrenewed mind. And we are told in Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, to renew our mind with the Word of God. Yeah, you need some brainwashing. You really do. Your brain's dirty. People have dirty minds. And they need to be filled and cleansed with the Word of God to think in line with what God's Word says. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. In the Old Testament, the Amalekites, you remember them? Amalek. Write this down. Amalek was a type of the flesh in the Old Testament. And I've said this to you before, and I've taught this in years gone by, but why? Well, the Amalekites, you'll find it in Exodus 17, verse 8, rise up to fight against Israel, and this was immediately following the miracle that took place at Marah and Meribah. Moses struck the rock, water came out, they were all taken care of. You remember that? And verse number, what did I just tell you, 8 or 6? Exodus, yeah, 17, verse 8. Immediately, Amalek comes out against Israel. And that is a key. Go ahead, stand to your feet. That is a key. Amalek were descendants of Esau, the Amalekites. They were descendants of Esau. And as descendants of Esau, they were allied to Israel. In other words, close to Israel. Descendants. Now, let me ask you this. Is your flesh pretty close to you? Come on, the answer is yes. I am not going to admit that, Pastor Dan. It doesn't change the fact that it is. Very, very close. And immediately upon a victory, this supposed ally, really not allies, they were enemies, attacks Israel. It's amazing to me that after you have a victory, how your flesh will rise up. You've been praying, you've been seeking God, and something happens in your life. You get that new job, God blesses you here, you get a healing, something happens, you meet that right special someone, and everything is going well, and the flesh enters in and says, you don't need to read your Bible so much. You've been praying way more than you need to. Jerry, you don't need to pray anymore. That's what the flesh says. It's an immediate attack, and we have the tendency to relax once things get better. Right? Every one of us do it, and every one of us have to stand against that. The last verse in the chapter of Exodus 17 said, Amalek, that the Lord would have war with Amalek from generation to generation. In other words, it was an ongoing battle that would happen between the Lord and this type of the flesh. Flesh or spirit, which is it going to be? Who are you going to yield to, the spirit or the flesh? We want to yield to the spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart. You need to be doing that every day. If you pray in tongues, you need to be praying in tongues. There are people that don't pray in tongues yet. Praying in tongues, it's not a matter of going to heaven. If you don't pray in tongues, if you believe in Jesus, you're still going to heaven. That's not it. This is just a weapon that you can use to help build you up and take you from a walk in the flesh into a walk in the spirit. I'll tell you, timing is everything, amen? And being in the right place at the right time, there's a lot to be said for that. I said that we would hear testimonies of people that were out there in Las Vegas who the Lord spoke to them and they got out of there before that ever started. Or people that had believed God were quoting Psalm 91. Wednesday night I talk about how to terror-proof your life. Y'all missed it. Not all of you. But how to terror-proof your life. You'll hear testimonies of people. We have a testimony, Brandon. Brandon and Erica and the kids were at that parade over here 2 years ago. The homecoming parade. How many of y'all remember? That was a tragedy. A dear friend of ours, Annette Turner, was hit and spent the next year nearly in the hospital and all the surgeries. She was over at Brandon and Erica's and she and Robert the other day for a birthday party, and she's doing so well. She's doing so well. And praise God. But Brandon and Erica were standing right in that area. And Brandon, it was you that said we need to go. And shortly before this thing happened. Don't tell me timing's not everything and listening to the voice of the Lord doesn't pay dividends. We need to get out of there. I don't know why. We just need to go. The parade wasn't over. They got out of there. 2, 3, 5 minutes later, that happened. Nash walked through 5 minutes before. Through there. Right there. Father, thank you for protecting your kids. And we're sorrowful that people lost their lives in that. And we're sorrowful that the people that were killed and injured out here in Las Vegas, just a terrible thing. We know you had nothing to do with that. We vow to be people that listen to your voice and do what you instruct us to do. And we thank you and praise you for that and give you glory for that this day. In the name of Jesus. Miss your hand, you know Christ as your Lord. Come on, very simple. I'm not going to embarrass you or pull you up in front of the church and demand something out of you. I just want to know. So I'm glad to hear that we're born again people. Miss your hands again. I'm sorry. One more time. All right, you're born again. Good. It's good for you to testify like that. Father, thank you for the peace of Christ upon the church family today, for your health and their well-being and safety, Father, as they go about their day. We hold up Rhonda before you right now. She's not here today. And Father, we take